The Boise State Public Radio app. News, music, and more.
Idaho Matters.
Morning Edition.
All things considered.
The Connector.
And more.
And more.
You can take us wherever you go and stay connected. Without it, you're missing out. Download it free.
You can also communicate using the Talk to Us tab.
The Boise State Public Radio app.
You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. According to the American Heart Association, a congenital heart defect happens when the heart or blood vessels near the heart don't develop normally before birth. More than 40,000 babies are born every year in the United States with a heart defect, making congenital heart disease the most common birth defect in our nation. And the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare estimates that 55 babies each year are born with a critical congenital heart defect here in Idaho. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is pediatric cardiologist Dr. Michael Womack. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So a lot of the, when we talk about congenital heart defects, as I mentioned, there are mild to severe, correct?
Correct.
So talk to me about what would be like a mild type of a congenital heart defect.
Some of the mild ones include the aortic valve, which normally has three leaflets, just having two. That's very common. There's a normal fetal communication between the two atria of the heart, the two receiving chambers or upper chambers, as people often say, and that opening needs to close up after birth. Sometimes it doesn't completely. Things like that tend to cause few, if any, problems for a while, and they also don't get detected in most cases for a while.
Aren't there some where, when you talked about it has to close up, that sometimes that happens on its own too, correct? Like,
yes,
over time?
Most of the time it does, yes.
Okay, so but then we go all the way to something severe. And what would that look like?
The most severe ones are ones we call ductal dependent. The ductus, we use a lot of Latin.
Right. Some more. You use those fancy
words.
Yeah,
we like to use Latin. It makes it sound fancy. The ductus is another fetal communication. It's a vessel which is programmed to close itself after birth. It's very important in fetal heart development. And there are certain lesions, certain heart defects, which can be okay, if you will, in utero before birth because of the presence of flow through this ductus. And then the ductus is open for a short time after babies are born, sometimes hours, maybe days, but it still tends to close. And then when it does, this anatomy now doesn't work anymore. It was dependent on that vessel being open like it was in utero, but now the baby's been born and it's closed, and this is when things can get very serious very quickly.
And there are times, too, then, where if something like this were to happen, what you just described, I would think that if it's a normal birth, you know, you are out of the hospital usually within 48 hours, or if you're at a birthing center, you know, you go home fairly quickly, mom and baby do, but it could take a couple of weeks all of a sudden for the baby to seem not so healthy. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
So there's this new, so in the state of Idaho, last year, right, last legislative session, legislators passed a new screening, correct?
Right.
Okay, so talk to me about this.
So at about a day of age, the baby's oxygen concentration is checked by a little probe put on the right hand and one of the feet. And two questions are asked. Are these two numbers that we got from different parts of the body close enough together?
Mm.
And are they both high enough? Because if either one of those things is off, that may be an indication that one of these ductal-dependent lesions, or perhaps another problem that's not as severe but still worth knowing about, is present. And that prompts further investigation, usually an ultrasound of the heart, to say, okay, what is the structure and the function of the heart and the vessels and so forth? Is everything okay? And actually, most of the time it is. Most of the time it is. But we do occasionally catch something that, yes, was sort of flying under the radar, and that family would have been discharged previously, unsuspecting, and then would have had changes sort of come up, perhaps very serious ones. And the difficulty is not just that you're out of the hospital, but there's other, you don't know it's the heart.
Mm.
Your baby's sick, breathing funny, looking bad. You're worried about infection. You're worried about all kinds of things. You don't necessarily think about the heart first. So it can be very sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
So this oximetry screening is actually mostly directed at finding the ones that don't produce the classic signs of heart disease, like the baby is blue, the baby has a murmur, things like that.
I'm speaking with pediatric cardiologist Dr. Michael Womack. He's with St. Luke's Children's Hospital, talking about congenital heart defects. So we spoke about this just a little bit before we came on air, but you know, that 20-week ultrasound that most women get, I mean, there's so many things you check for. It's a very long, involved process. But sometimes these defects don't even show up on ultrasounds, prenatal ultrasounds, correct?
That's right.
And that's just because you said there's so many things you're looking through to find baby, and then the heart is so small.
The heart is small. And, of course, in the screening ultrasound, they got to look at everything. I mean, they're looking at the baby's developing brain and the limbs and all over the body. So they have to be experts to some extent on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be enough that's noticeably wrong with the heart to trigger a referral for a pediatric cardiologist mm-hmm. like me to do a fetal scan. And then, yeah, you have to contend with the resolution and the graininess of the image to try to sort out what's going on. It can be very challenging.
And when a baby is born and something like this is detected, like you said, sometimes it can fix itself. But when it cannot, how critical is this new screening to be able to make sure that a baby, you know, has the best care possible?
Well, for the babies that it catches, they're not large in number, but they are very high in risk and severity. So it may literally be a life-saving thing for those babies. But the other thing that does it, it gives us a certain level of confidence, let's say, for when there's a baby maybe that has some reflux and has a little color change with a feeding, and people are worried, oh my goodness, my baby turned a little blue, my baby's a little blue, I need to maybe go see a cardiologist. Well, there's already been an oximetry screening, and so we already know quite a bit. And then with just regular well child care, you know, we know a great mm-hmm. deal more on top of that. And so it just helps set the groundwork for well child care, picking up
mm-hmm.
the less important, less severe, but still worth knowing about, and sometimes that need intervention, these other lesions that can come up later.
Because as of July 1 of last year, all babies born at a hospital in Idaho, correct, get this screening.
Right. That's right.
And because I think I believe the American Heart Association also says that up to 30% of infant deaths are caused by birth defects. So if it is a severe congenital heart defect, I mean, can a baby's health really turn that quickly?
If it's one of these lesions that, again, depends on a fetal communication, mm-hmm. a fetal connection that has now gone away, yes, in a matter of, you know, minutes to hours, the baby can cross a tipping point and go from looking and seeming and feeding and breathing quite normally to being in what we call cardiogenic mm-hmm. shock, where there's insufficient circulation to the body, and then everything's going wrong, basically. Nothing's getting the support it needs from the heart. So the whole body, including the heart itself, is all having problems.
As a cardiologist, I mean, you deal with these little babies. What's it like for you to finally have a baseline test like this for these infants?
Well, we were always in favor
yeah.
of doing this. And whenever questions would come up on newborns, this was a very simple bedside test that we would often use or ask people to get for us to help us know how worried to be, basically,
mm-hmm.
to try to stratify the risk. Like it might be talking to someone over the phone who's, you know, maybe even a couple hundred miles away at a hospital with a question. So we were always very much in favor. And so, yes, it gives us a certain security, a certain reassurance that these scariest heart problems are not getting sent home, that if we need to do some studies and most of them are normal, but we catch a few, this makes us feel a lot better about the deal.
Well, you never relax once you become a parent. So it is just another good way to make sure those babies are healthy.
That's right. And it isn't an expensive or a difficult or a risky thing to do. So much in medicine, you know, is.
Yeah.
This is nice in that it's really pretty straightforward. Didn't need a lot of high-tech stuff, actually just using stuff we had already had and used for a long time in a consistent fashion.
And it doesn't sound too invasive for babies, so
it's
which
totally
is really
non-invasive.
Good.
There's no risk to it at all, and it only takes a few minutes for each child.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today and talking more about this. My guest today, pediatric cardiologist Dr. Michael Womack. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Idaho Matters from Boise State Public Radio. I'm Gemma Gaudette.